Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. We love music in this church, amen? God has blessed this fellowship with marvelous talent, wonderful talent to sing praise to the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, and we are grateful that people are willing to step out and step up and to share that marvelous talent with us as we sing to the Lord our God. And if you like good Christian music, this is the place to be. Dave does a wonderful job with our choir, with our worship team, and with other groups in our church. God has gifted him with a marvelous talent that he uses to the glory of the Lord, and we thank God for him and for Teresa, for Nancy, and all who participate in this part of the worship service. And by the way, on Sunday, February the 10th, in the 11 o'clock worship service, Dallas Holm will be with us in concert. I don't know if you know the name Dallas Holm, but for those of you who can think back to the 70s and 80s on the contemporary Christian scene, a young man from Texas came and wrote some wonderful songs, recorded some absolutely beautiful songs, and he has been ministering since that time. But we're going to have him in our church on Sunday, February the 10th, in 11 o'clock service. You're welcome to come and be a part of that service. We're also about Bible study in this church. We're about studying the Word of God together. And a year ago, this past first Sunday in January, we began our study preaching through the book of the Revelation. And we ended up 2007 only getting through chapter 3, but that's because we're serious about Bible study in this church. And we've started with chapter 4, beginning the first part of this year, and we're going to take a break from that today, because today is a special day for our church and for our church family. It's a special day for our deacon members. It's a special day for three men, for Larry Keith, for Charles Stice, and for Phil Story, and for their families, because today is the day that we honor what God has done in their lives in setting them aside to be deacons in our fellowship. Today is ordination day for these three men. It's a day that we also celebrate the fact that God continues to move in the church. God continues to speak to the hearts of men and women. He continues to impress upon them the need to be involved in ministry and to engage in the work of the kingdom of Christ, not only in this fellowship, but through this fellowship into our communities, into our neighborhoods, in the areas where we work, where we play, where we go to school, where we have influence. And so we celebrate today the continuing work of Christ in the fellowship of this church. And it's a day for us to express our gratitude to the Lord, to say thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our fellowship, for all that you have accomplished in each and every life, as well as in the life of the church, for all that he does to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. It's a day that we stop and just think for a moment about who we are as a church and what we do as a church. In a day when it seems like churches are more and more moving further and further away from the biblical model of churchmanship and from the biblical model of church service and ministry, it's important that we as a church come back to the Bible, look again at what the Scriptures have to say about servant leaders in the fellowship. So I want you to take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the first seven verses will be our text for this morning. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Stand with me, if you will, as we read the Scriptures together. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Please be seated. Why do we have deacons? Some of you may not even know what a deacon is, let alone what a deacon does. And so the question is asked, and we need to spend some time this morning answering the question, what is a deacon and what do deacons really do? Why was it important for the church in Jerusalem to set aside 7 men? Why is it important for us to set aside 3 more men to serve as deacons in our fellowship? When we go to the text, Acts chapter 6, the answer should be very clear to each and every one of us. In the text, we read that the church in Jerusalem was growing by leaps and bounds. Some say that at the time the text was written, the church in Jerusalem numbered about 20,000 people. From the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and they went out and they began to preach Jesus Christ and share the gospel with everyone who gathered into Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. On the first day of the preaching and the ministry, 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ. And the Lord continued to add to that church every single day. Now, I want us to understand that in that day, there was no central church building where the Christians gathered for worship like we have here on the corner of Myrtle and McConnell. They met in homes. They met each and every day throughout the week. In various homes throughout the city. They were home churches. And yet they continued to grow and develop to the number of about 20,000 people at the time of this writing. They listened as the apostles taught the word of God. They sang songs and hymns and spiritual songs. They prayed together for the needs of the fellowship. They prayed for the continuing work of the Holy Spirit of God. They prayed that they might be strengthened in the Lord, discipled in the kingdom of God. They prayed for their family members to be saved. They prayed for their friends to be saved. They prayed for the whole city of Jerusalem to be saved. They fellowshiped with each other around the table. They broke bread together. They ate their meals together. They celebrated communion together. And then they went out and they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever the Holy Spirit of God led them. And the church continued to grow and grow and grow and develop. It was a large church. But it was an exciting church. I know nowadays, you know, we have a lot of mega churches around where there's, you know, 5, 6, 7,000 people, 10, 12,000 people. Some churches in the Southern Baptist Convention have 20, 25,000 members. And I know that can be very daunting and intimidating for some people. Some people don't like to go to those churches because they kind of get lost in the crowd. But let me tell you, when you do church correctly, when you do church right, the way the Bible says, it's an exciting place to be. People minister to each other and fellowship with each other. People enjoy the company of one another as they lift up the name of Jesus Christ together in worship. This was an exciting place to be. But the church continued to grow rapidly. It continued to develop. More and more people were being led to Jesus Christ and were embracing Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. And it grew so rapidly and so quickly that the apostles, the pastors of the church, couldn't keep up with it. How would you like to be the senior pastor of a church of 20,000 people and try to minister to all of the needs of the fellowship? An impossible task. And so, here in the Jerusalem church, we have not just one pastor, but we have about 12. We have 12 apostles who are ministering the word of God, and yet it was beyond them to be able to care for all of the spiritual and the physical needs of the church. So they said, as problems began to rise up, as there was grumbling, as there was murmuring, because some people were being ignored or left out of the daily administration, the apostles said, we've got to take care of this problem before it becomes an issue that divides the church, before it quenches the Spirit of God in the fellowship. So they asked the church to set aside 7 men who would take care of the physical need that had come up at that particular point in time. It seems that there were so many poor people in the fellowship of the church at that time that the church was responsible for ministering food to those who were hungry. As people who had fields and orchards, as they had flocks and herds, they would bring some of the excesses into the fellowship of the church to be distributed to people who didn't have food, to distribute to people who didn't have groceries, who didn't have anything in the cupboard. And so these people would come to the fellowship and they would be ministered to in the daily administration. But some people were being neglected. The Greek widows were being neglected. And this became of grave concern to the elders of the church. And so they said, set aside 7 men who will take care of this responsibility. Now these seven men were called servants. And the Greek word is diakonos, from which we get our English word deacon. And yet these 7 men were not deacons as officers in the church, but they were servant leaders in the church. They were, if you will, the prototype of what would later become the deacons of the church. In the New Testament, we have 2 main officers that serve in the church. They are pastors and they are deacons. They're called also bishops and elders, but they are primarily pastors and deacons. And they are set aside to do 2 things. To care for the spiritual needs of the fellowship and to care for the physical needs of the fellowship. As the church ministers the word of God and as they reach people for Jesus Christ, there is also the support ministry that comes alongside to care for the physical needs of the people that are being reached for the kingdom. So these 7 men are the prototype of what would later be called deacons, diakonos. Even though we call sometimes these 7 men deacons, they were not officially deacons as much as they were looked upon as being servant leaders in the church. Being in the church all of my life, and I know some of you have probably been in churches for the bigger part of your life, we've had opportunity to see deacons at work. I have been, as I said, in church all of my life, and I have seen deacons come and go. I've seen deacons do what deacons do in churches, not only here, but where I was raised in Arkansas and in other places where I have been. And I confess to you, not all churches honor the deacon ministry like the Bible says they should. And not all churches honor the deacon ministry like other churches honor the deacon ministry. In some churches, the deacons form the governing board of the church. In some churches, the deacons form that group of individuals who are responsible for all of the business affairs of the church. These are the ones who hire and fire the pastor and staff. These are the ones who control the spending of the church's money. They set the policies and the practices and the procedures of the church. They are the governing board of the church. In other churches, deacons are nothing more than figureheads. They don't really do anything, but they have a title of honor, and they pretty much do what they do without any kind of guidelines or any stipulations, and in many instances, no accountability. In some places where I have been, deacons who are figureheads in the church don't even attend church. They don't attend prayer meetings. They don't attend Bible studies or Sunday schools or home Bible study groups. They're just there when they want to be there. And when they're busy doing something else, they're not there in the church any longer. They're more like figureheads than they are servants. But here in the Winton First Baptist Church, those individuals who are set aside and acknowledged in the congregation to be deacons are servants. They're servants of the Lord and they're servants of the church. They are not a governing body in the church. They're not power brokers in the church. They're not figureheads in the church. They are called to serve God, and they're called to serve God's people. That's who these men are in this church. Now, they have a primary function, and they have a secondary function. Their primary function, according to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, their primary function is to care for the physical needs of the congregation. That's what they do. They care for the physical needs. Now, mind you, they care for the needs, not necessarily the wants. We all have things that we would like, and we would all like to see the church do. But just because I want certain things doesn't necessarily mean I can call my deacon and that want is going to be taken care of. No. Their primary responsibility is to care for the needs of the fellowship. That's what they did in Acts chapter 6. That's what they do here. They serve as servant leaders caring for the physical needs of the church. That's what they're ordained and activated to do. But they have a secondary function in the church, and that is also found in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Their secondary purpose is to free up the pastors for spiritual ministry in prayer, in Bible study, and in ministry of the Word of God. It would be impossible for me to be able to minister to all of the physical and spiritual needs of this church. We have a little over 200 families, about 450, 460 members in this church. It would be an impossibility for me to minister to every spiritual and physical need of this fellowship. I just couldn't do it. We have other men in our fellowship, Reverend Slater Butts, Reverend John McDaniel, and others who are retired pastors, and they serve with me in caring for the spiritual needs of the church, and it's impossible for the three of us to care for all of those physical and spiritual needs. That's why we have deacons. They serve in the support role of undergirding the work of the church by providing for the physical needs of the members of the fellowship. Now, when they do their job, when the deacons do their job in supporting the ministries of the church and providing for the physical needs of the church, that allows us to do our job, to pray, to study the Word of God, to preach, to teach, and to minister in counseling the truths of God's Word into the lives of the people who join our fellowship. So when they do their job, we can do our job. And when we do our job, they can do their job. It is a support ministry. It is a team ministry. We are not at odds with each other, and we're not in competition with each other. We work together to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this church. Our deacons are called to care for the families, and the needs of the families on a regular, ongoing basis. They do this primarily through the Deacon Family Ministry Plan. I don't know how many of you might be familiar with the Deacon Family Ministry Plan, but let me simply share with you just a few of the things regarding the Deacon Family Ministry Plan that we have found to be very effective in our church. Every deacon in the fellowship is assigned a number of families that they are to be primarily pastor over. But again, in the area of the physical needs and the physical concerns of the church. So each deacon has a number of families that they are responsible for. Every family, every individual that joins the fellowship of this church is assigned a deacon. And you look to that deacon as a support person, as a prayer warrior, as someone who can minister for you, minister to you, minister with you, and minister through you to the needs of the fellowship and the surrounding community. Sometimes a deacon will do this individually. Sometimes he'll team up with another deacon to support him in the work, because all of our deacons come from various backgrounds, and all of them have various experiences in certain areas of life. Some of them are well-versed in areas of finance, others are not. Some are well-versed in the areas of law, others are not. Some are well-versed in the areas of administration, others are not. Some are more experienced as prayer warriors, where others are not. And so if they're ministering to a need that they're not comfortable with or not well versed in or have not a lot of experience in, they may team up with another deacon to minister to the need of that family. So sometimes they minister individually. Sometimes they team up with another deacon to minister. But they all seek to serve the families of the church. Now, if we go back to Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, there are three steps to the setting aside of an individual for deacon ministry. First of all, when the need arose, the apostles asked the church, set aside seven men. And that's what we do here. We ask the church to set aside certain men who will serve as servant leaders or as deacons in the fellowship. So they are called by the church membership. Secondly, they are consecrated by the Holy Spirit of God. These men are not only set aside by the church, but they are also set aside by the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord God in the church. These men are not just set apart by the members of the church to do whatever the church wants them to do. They are also set aside by the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit leads them to do. And sometimes what they're led to do may not necessarily be what you want them to do, but because they are led by the Spirit of God, we allow them to do the work of ministry as the Holy Spirit dictates. Thirdly, they are confirmed by the leadership of the church. The church set aside the seven. They were consecrated by the Holy Spirit of God, and they were confirmed by the apostles as servant leaders in the fellowship. We have three men today whom you have called and set aside to become servant leaders in the fellowship. They're Larry, Keith, Charles Stice, and Phil Story. They have undergone training for an entire year. They have met with me about twice a month for 2 hours to 3 hours of doctrinal training in the work and the ministry of this church, the things that we believe, the things that we hold to, the practices of the church, the policies of the church. They've done that for nearly a year, meeting with me, going over all of these things. They have been assigned a mentor deacon from the deacon council who was responsible for going by, picking them up and taking them out on visitation, hospital visitation, evangelism visitation, ministry visitation. And as they have traveled from place to place, they've had opportunity to talk to these mentor deacons about the work of the church, the ministry of the church, the importance of the church, and all of the areas that concern them regarding the church. They've had opportunity to ask questions and to have those questions answered. When the training was completed, they were brought back to the deacon council. A report was given by the pastor. A report was given by their deacon mentor. The deacon council then rendered a decision as to whether or not these men would continue on in the process that would lead up to ordination. These men were also asked after their training, did they want to continue on? It was up to them as to whether or not they wanted to continue on. These three have agreed to continue on. They were then brought before the deacon council for a time of questioning. And the entire deacon council had these men answer questions regarding their spiritual experience, their conversion, their home life, their spiritual life, their ministry, the areas where they feel God is leading them into specific service, their church life, what they have been involved with up to this point insofar as church ministries are concerned, and all of these other things. Then a vote was taken as to whether or not we felt they were qualified to continue on. These men were brought then to the church by recommendation of the deacon council to proceed, and the church had the opportunity to discuss with them, to ask them questions, to interview them with regard to their calling, their life, their conversion, and so on and so forth. And then the church voted that these men should proceed with ordination, and that brings us to today. So it's quite a little ordeal. It's quite a number of steps that we go through, but it is to prove that we're serious about ministry in this church, that we want people to understand when you become a minister in this fellowship that you're going to know what you're responsible for and what you're accountable to God for. That this is not some flunky fly-by-night operation where we do a couple of things that give you warm fuzzies and then you go home back to your normal way of life. This is serious business. This is kingdom business in this church, and we take it seriously. And so these men have undergone some rigorous training, spiritual training, as well as physical training, in ministry, in doctrine, in faith, in practice, in prayer. And we present them to you this morning to be ordained as servant leaders in this fellowship. Now, it is our responsibility as a church to allow them to do the work that you have called them and set them aside to do. And that is to minister to us as servant leaders in the fellowship. How do we do that? Well, let me share with you a few things that we need to consider. Quite often, when a need arises in a life or in a family or in a situation, the first impulse is to pick up the phone and to call the pastor. Or to get in your car and drive down and visit the pastor in his office and talk to the pastor about it. I want you to understand, dear friends, I appreciate that. I really, really do. I have been called by the Lord God to be a servant and to serve the Lord and to serve His people in the fellowship of the church. But sometimes when people have called or sometimes when people have stopped by, they've not found the pastor, and I was going to say at home. Yeah, at home. This is pretty much my home. But I've on another call or out on visitation or in a hospital situation or so on and so forth, and you've not been able to get in touch with me. And so you've left a message, and maybe sometimes it's been hours or even a day or two before I've been able to get back to you. That's just the way it is anymore in church ministry. So many needs in the lives of so many people and so many families that we just cannot cover all of the bases immediately. Let me encourage you to call your deacon first, to speak to your deacon first, to give him the opportunity to be a servant leader in your life, to be able to share with you the things that God has grown him up in, the things that he has experienced, the things that he has learned, the things that the Lord has revealed to him that he can then share with you and help you and minister to you. You may very well find that the deacon is better able to help you than the pastor is. After all, dear friends, you know, I have been through a lot and I've been around the block more times than I can count, but I don't know everything. And there are a lot of experiences that our deacons have had that I have not had. And I would not be able to speak to those issues with any kind of authority because I have not been well versed or not experienced or even trained in that particular area. But these men have. Give your deacon the opportunity to minister to you by calling him first and allowing him the joy and the privilege of serving you in the name of the Lord. Now I want you to take your bulletin, and in your bulletin you'll notice that there is a pamphlet called How a Deacon Can Help You. How a Deacon Can Help You. Every member of the church should have one of these somewhere in your possession, either with you in your Bible or at home someplace where you can access it. There are 8 activities that our deacons strive to focus on. 8 activities that we try to zero in on to help the families of our church be what God wants them to be. First of all is visitation. Our deacons want to visit. They want to visit you. They want to be in your homes. They want to share with you. Why? Because they want to get to know you. They want to know who you are, and they want you to know who they are. Now, I want you to understand that the purpose of visitation is not to camp out on your doorstep and to bug you or to harangue you or to harass you or to stick their nose into business that doesn't belong to them. They're not there to agitate or aggravate. They are there to visit with you, to share with you their life story and to have you share with them your life story. And that doesn't mean that you go into all of the gory, dark, bitter details of your life. But to let them know who you are so they can better minister to you. They want to visit with you, to encourage you, to get acquainted with you, to meet you face to face, and to let you know how much they love you and how much they are willing to serve you and want to serve you through the church. It's good to see your deacon in worship. It's good to see your deacon in your Sunday school ministry. It's good to see your deacon involved in home Bible study. But they want to meet you personally, and they want to share with you personally the things that God is doing in their life, and they want you to share with them also the things God is doing in your life. Secondly, they want to be a witness. I dare say that there is not one individual in this congregation this morning that doesn't know a family member or a friend outside the kingdom of God. All of us know someone who doesn't know Jesus. All of us know a family member, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a grandchild. We know someone in the family that doesn't know Jesus. Our deacons want to be able to share with you and to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called not only to serve, but also to share. And one of the primary things we want to share is the good news of salvation in Jesus. Amen? We want people to know that there is a Savior who reigns on high, a Savior who died and who rose again to give us eternal life. We want to witness to our friends and to our families. We want to share the gospel with those in our circles of influence. Thirdly, to fellowship. Now, I know a lot of you who are not Baptist people, but you've heard a lot about Baptists. You know that Baptists love to fellowship. We love to get together and we love to fellowship. But by fellowship, we're not talking about eating a meal here. We're talking about spending some time together. Because that's, biblically, that's what fellowship is all about. It's spending some time together to celebrate the events of life. Our deacons want to know your birthday, your anniversary. They want to know if you have a child that is graduating from high school or maybe graduating from college or graduate school. They want to know about a birth in your family or a death in your family. They want to know if God has blessed you with a child or a grandchild. They want to know when you're going on vacation and when you're returning from vacation. They want to know these things, not because they're busybodies and don't have anything better to do, but they want to celebrate these things with you. Now, that doesn't mean if you're celebrating an anniversary and you and your spouse are getting ready to go on a 2 or 3 day jaunt that you have to take your deacon with you to celebrate with you. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about fellowship. But what we are talking about is if they know that you have an anniversary that's coming up, they want to just drop a card in the mail or they want to call you on the phone or even stop by and just say congratulations. They want to celebrate with you and they want to acknowledge with you the blessing of another year of marriage. Or they want to stop by and congratulate you that you have a child that is graduating from school. Or that you have a new birth in the family. See, we're about celebration. We want people to celebrate these events of life and we want to share in that time of celebration. So fellowship is about that. But we also want to share in times of fellowship that's not so exciting and joyful. Times when there are death in the family. Times when we're going through a crisis. Times of hospitalization. Times when we just need somebody to come by and to pray with us. And you know, our deacons, again, we're not busybodies. We're not poking our nose into places where we don't belong. If you call your deacon and say, I just need somebody to pray with, and your deacon may ask you, is there something I can do? What is it that we need to pray about? And if it's a very sensitive thing that you don't want to share, they'll honor that. They'll simply say, that's okay. I'll come by and we'll pray. You don't need to discuss with me what it's all about. I just want to come by and pray with you. We want to fellowship with you. We want to minister to you. We want to celebrate life with you. Then we want to support you. I believe that our men and their wives, because our wives serve with us in this church. I don't know about in other churches, but in this church, our wives serve with us. But we want you to know that our men and our women are stand-up people. They will stand in support of you and your family. Even in times of crisis, you will be amazed at how many of our deacons have passed through trials and temptations and passed through the fires of heartache and disappointment and frustration just like you. Many of these individuals have gone through extremely difficult times in their lives, crises in their lives. And they know how to counsel you and to pray with you and to pray for you because they have been there themselves. I know as a young preacher, when I first started ministry about 35 years ago, it was very difficult for me to go into a home where a family experienced the death of a loved one, experienced the death of a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a father or a mother. I knew what the Bible had to say about life, and I knew what the Bible had to say about death and eternal life. But I myself had not experienced what the person was going through, the emotional trauma, the emptiness, the pain and the anguish that the person was going through until I experienced it in my own life. Many of these individuals have gone through the very things that you're going through. And they want to share with you the victory that the Lord gave them so that you can experience that same victory in your own life. Give them the opportunity to do that. Let them minister to you as God has ministered to them. They are there to support you, to encourage you, to stand by you, to stand with you, even in the days of fiery trials. They can pray with you and pray for you and counsel you and even recommend to you others that may be able to deal with the issue in a better way than they can. And that leads me to the next activity, and that is the dissemination of information. I often tell people who visit our church who are considering joining our family that we, you know, we're an open book here. What you see is what you get. We don't have secret meetings and we don't have closed door meetings. We have committees and we have agencies and councils in the church, and we have members of those various groups, and they meet regularly to discuss business and carry on work. But these meetings are open to anyone who wants to come and listen. You may not be a voting member of the committee, but you can certainly attend and hear what's being discussed. We are an open book church. We want our people to know what the Lord is doing in our fellowship and what we are about as a body in Jesus Christ. If you want to know what's going on, I encourage people, just ask. If you don't understand something, just ask. Ask me, ask a deacon, ask a leader in the church. Just ask the question. We want you to know who we are and what we're really all about. We do things here differently than they do in other churches. And even though we're a Southern Baptist church, and there are many Southern Baptist churches in California, not every Southern Baptist church is like every other Southern Baptist church. And so there may be things that we do here that you've not seen in other churches, and you want to know why. Just ask. Just ask. That's all we ask you to do, is to be open with us as we strive to be open with you. But we're also in touch with agencies in the community. Agencies that can help you in ways that we as a church cannot. If you need to get in touch with certain counseling services or certain legal services or so on and so forth, then we can get in touch with those agencies and help you link up with those agencies to get the necessary information and the necessary help that you need. Because we know as a church, we're not able to do everything. And as many people as we have coming to this church with the experiences and the vocations that they have, we're still not able to meet all of the needs. And so we want to help you get the help that you need. If we cannot help you, we want to help you get to the person or to the group of people that can help you. Then we're about assimilation. Assimilation simply means helping you get plugged in to the family. My conviction has always been that every individual who names the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has been gifted by the Holy Spirit of God to do some special work of ministry that He has gifted you and equipped you to do. You may not know what that ministry is. You may not know what the will of God for your life is. You may be wondering, what am I supposed to do now that I am a Christian? Where do I fit in? What am I supposed to engage in? It is our responsibility as servant leaders in the church to help you find your niche in the family of God. And again, we will pray with you and counsel with you and work with you, and we will even come alongside you and help you in certain areas of ministry to try to define where it is God wants you to serve. Because we're about service. We're not about sitting in pews and souring. We're about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want people to get assimilated into the family, to become a part of the family, active part of the family of God. And then we're about ministry. As I said, every individual has been given a spiritual gift of ministry. And we want you to discover that spiritual gift. And we want to provide an arena, if you will, an environment in which you can, man, woman, boy, or girl, get plugged into the kingdom work of Christ in Winton and in the surrounding communities. We want you to minister, and we'll even come alongside and mentor you, help you, train you in that ministry. Then we're about prayer. The pastors and the deacons of this fellowship believe in prayer. And you need to know that. We believe in prayer because we believe in God. We believe that God hears us when we pray. We believe that God's heart is moved when we pray. And we believe that God responds to us when we pray. Why? Because that has been our experience for year after year after year in this fellowship. We join together and we pray and we see the Lord move in our fellowship, answering our prayers. We want to be prayer warriors with you and prayer warriors for you. We want to be able to lift you up before the Lord God in prayer. We want to be able to pray with you in the ministry needs of the church, in the ministry needs of your family, in the ministry needs of your own individual life. Give us the opportunity to come alongside you and to pray with you and to pray for you and to lift up your family and your needs, your concerns, your victories, your heartaches, and your joys before the Lord. These are the 8 activities that we engage in here as deacons in the fellowship. Now I want to present to you those individuals who have been called to serve as deacons in our church. And I'm going to ask that as I call their names, that these deacons will come and they will take their place here with me, here on the podium. And if your wife is with you, then bring your wife with you, because again, they serve with us here in this church. Some of our wives are out ministering in children's church and in other places, and so they may not necessarily be here in the sanctuary at this moment. But as I call your name, I want you to come and stand with us here on the podium. We have in our church 3 classifications of deacons in the deacon ministry. They are advisory deacons, active deacons, and associate deacons. Advisory deacons are those deacons who serve as counselors and advisors in the church leadership because they are unable to perform deacon family ministry. Because of health reasons or because of age or because of limitations that they may have, they have not been assigned families that they are responsible for. But because of their past experience as deacons, they have a wealth of information and wisdom, and they have a wealth of experience that they can counsel us on as we strive to minister the name of Jesus Christ to our church families. We have these men who serve as advisory deacons. They are Vernal Addington, Bill Haley, and Reverend John McDaniel. Will you come, please? Our active deacons are those individuals who serve in an active role in the deacon family ministry plan. They are responsible for families that have been assigned to them in the ways in which I have already outlined to you. Those active deacons in our fellowship are Phil Browning, Bob Burnett, Dylan Cook, who is on vacation, Michael Dunn, Michael Finch, Dick Howard, who is in the hospital at this particular time, could not be with us, Rick Howard, Dub Mooneyham, Ralph Morrison, and Larry Nocetti. Associate deacons are those individuals who have been set aside by the church and who've undergone training for this past year to become deacons. They have been presented to the church and approved by the church.
The church's charge to the new deacons was interrupted by a brief power failure. We continue now from where power was restored about a minute later.
I'm going to ask Dub Mooneyham, our chairman of deacons, to come and to give the charge to the associate deacons.
Larry Keith, Charles Stice, and Phil Story, commit to walk worthy of the ministry in which you are called, seeking always to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord? And do you commit to diligently and faithfully perform the duties of an active deacon in the fellowship of the First Southern Baptist Church, Winton, with no thought of personal reward or honor, having as your primary motives and sharing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the building up of this fellowship through dedication to personal and spiritual growth and maturity, inspirational leadership, loyal service, faithful stewardship, and joyful fellowship, all to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask that Ralph Morrison, our past chairman of deacons, to come and to give charge to the church.
Will the church stand, please? I need affirmative answers to these questions, please. Do you, the members of the First Southern Baptist Church, Winton, acknowledge and approve Larry Keith, Charles Stice, and Phil Story as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and active deacons of this fellowship?
Yes.
And will you pray for them in this ministry and work together with them to accomplish the mission of this church, giving them all due honor and support in their leadership in which the Lord has called them, to the honor of and glory of Jesus Christ?
Yes. I'm going to ask that the associate deacons will come and stand here with me. And I'm going to ask that all of the other deacons come and stand around them. I'm going to ask the deacons' wives if they will join hands together. I'm going to ask the fellowship of the church if you'll join hands with the person standing next to you. We're going to do as the scripture says. We're going to lay hands upon them and we're going to pray. And we're going to acknowledge what God has already confirmed in their lives and in the life of this church, that these men are now ready to become servant leaders in our fellowship. Gentlemen, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you still call people to serve you in the church. We thank you that you are alive and well in this fellowship, that you move upon the hearts of your people. They sense the needs that are all around us, and they're willing to stand up and to step up and to make their lives count in ministry here. Thank you for Larry. Thank you for Charles. Thank you for Phil. Thank you for the training that they have undergone. Thank you for their willingness to serve. Thank you, Father, for your consecration in their lives. Thank you, Lord God, that they are now to be acknowledged as servant leaders in our fellowship. I pray that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit and release them to do the work of ministry that you have called them to do. May they join with the ranks of their fellow deacons to serve this church and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ through this church to his honor and to his glory, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. 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 Dub, where are you? We want to present to these men their ordination Bibles. I want you to recognize, dear family, that these are your servants. These are the ones who have committed their lives to serve you and to serve the Lord by ministering to your needs. Call on them. Acknowledge them. Give them opportunity to be who they desire to be in your life. Allow them to be used of the Lord God to minister to you and to help this fellowship grow as the Lord desires this fellowship to grow. God bless you. Thank you. You may return to your seats. I know these men have family that's here with them, and we want to thank you for being here. And this is very important for these fellows. It's very important for our church, and I know it's very important for your family. And so we want to thank you for taking the time to come and be here in this fellowship away from your church to be a part of this very important acknowledgement. Where does that leave us? I want to close by simply challenging you, dear friends, that God has called these three men and their wives to serve as servant leaders in this church. But he's also called you. He's called you to perform some function in the body of Christ. It may not necessarily be a deacon. It may not necessarily be to be a pastor or a preacher or a Bible teacher. He may call you to be a missionary. He may be calling you to be an evangelist. He may be calling you to be a prayer warrior, an administrator, an educator, someone who will use his talents or her talents to the glory and to the honor of Jesus Christ and to the building up of the fellowship of the church. These individuals have acknowledged the call of God on their lives. We ask you to also acknowledge the call of God in your life. It may be that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And all of this is Greek to you. You don't understand this because you don't have the Spirit of God living and dwelling you to interpret these things to you, to give you understanding with regard to these things. It may be that you sense the Spirit of God moving in your life to come to Jesus, to turn your life to Him, to be forgiven of all of your sin, to receive the gift of eternal life that can only come through His death and resurrection. I invite you to make that commitment to the Lord today. I invite you to surrender to His call upon your life to be saved. It may be that you're already a Christian. You may have been a Christian for some time, but you just really haven't found a place. You really haven't landed anywhere. You really haven't set down roots someplace because you just don't know what to do and how to serve the Lord. I'm inviting you, if nothing more, just to come to the altar during the time of invitation and get on your face before the Lord God and say, Father, you've saved me for a reason. Now reveal to me the purpose for which I've been saved. You may already know what God wants you to do, but you're hesitant about it. You just don't know if you have the faith to step out. In this church, in this fellowship, in this family, dear friends, when you step out to serve the Lord, you never step out alone. There's a whole host of people that will step out with you to encourage you, to walk with you, to stand beside you, to pray for you, to do all that they can do to help you be all that God wants you to be in His kingdom. You never step out alone. It may be that today you want to acknowledge the call of God in your life and you want to take that step to surrender to His call. I don't know what the Holy Spirit of God is moving upon you to do, but you do, and the Lord does. I want you to stand with us. David is going to come and lead us in a time of decision. And I want you to consider seriously the call of God in your life to be saved, to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to come and to submit to the Lord God, to His wisdom and to His knowledge and understanding of your life and His calling upon your life. Or to step out and to commit, as these men have done, to commit your life to serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to do, dear friends, we now give you the opportunity to obey Him, to yield to Him, to step out and to take the hand of faith and to follow the Lord into service, into ministry that will lead not only to an abundant life here, but to a glorious eternity with the Lord in heaven. David, lead us as we sing.
You are a holy God, an all-consuming fire. You're robed in majesty, bright shining as the sun.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.